morning. Good morning, my friends, and welcome back. You are listening to the fastest 4 hours in talk radio. We call it Frankly Speaking Radio, and it is Friday, May 18th, 2007, for anybody keeping track, about 1 a.m. here in the Central Time Zone. Welcome to all of you joining us on shortwave at frequency 3.215. Welcome to all of you listening online at republicbroadcasting.org, our website, franklyspeakingradio.com, our phone number, 800-313-9443. And, of course, our guest tonight is Tom Horn. He is the author of numerous books, including The Ahriman Gate and the brand-new one out in July, Nephilim Stargates, The Year 2012, and The Return of the Watchers. Tom Horn, welcome back, sir.
Well, thank you, Frank.
Thank you for staying on with us and addressing some of these calls, because we've got, like I said, completely jammed up phone lines.
Well, good.
Yeah, it's fantastic. So you were just addressing the question from Davis in North Carolina. Davis, does that address some of it? Because it would, I guess, Tom, what it sounds like you're saying is that you don't really believe in benevolent extraterrestrials.
No, I don't. And in a very peculiar way, I think you and I talked about this on your show before, and it kind of requires more time than we have tonight. But my father was a police officer who got involved in some various things and made some discoveries. Mm. And there were some things that started happening. My sister, later on, she was married to a man who worked for the government, Los Alamos, as a matter of fact. He wound up disappearing. This is a very big, complex story that would require more time than I can afford tonight.
Yeah.
But the bottom line was, when I was a pastor, I would think back about these events in our life, and I couldn't quite make sense out of them. But I noticed that they were equivalent to what people around the world were reporting as being alien abduction. But because of my upbringing, I wasn't comfortable with this idea of alien abduction. And I have very strong faith in God. And let me tell you something. You know, we were talking earlier about the probing of this person's mind, and they were seeing this shadow person and all that. Let me tell you what that made me think of. These scientists are viewing this phenomenon within their own disciplines as maybe explaining a basis for delusions or schizophrenia. Mm-hmm. And in that case, they might be right. But I can't tell you how much that report immediately made me think about the ancient Egyptian religious teachings of the Ka, something roughly equivalent to the human soul, but kind of a duplicate self that would follow you throughout life and then become the eternal you in the judgment. Mm. But I want to insert here, I personally have seen things that can't be described as schizophrenia, as delusions of a schizophrenic personality. In fact, my very first book, Spiritual Warfare, The Invisible Invasion, has a record in there of a case now, which was experienced here on the west coast of Oregon. And there were more than 40 people who were on site when this event happened. This was back, as you know, I was involved with exorcism, and I worked with a group of people mm-hmm. who were involved in exorcism. And decades ago, these were cases that had gone through a very long, arduous process of being qualified before they ever came to us. And one of the most spectacular cases involved a young boy, the son of a preacher. And do I hear the music coming back on?
Yes, you do. I'm sorry. Another quick break, folks. I can't believe how fast it's going. We're back in 3 minutes with more from Tom Horn and, of course, more of your phone calls. Stay with us. More Frankly Speaking Radio after this.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow. I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017. Or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017 or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com. Your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
You're here, my friends. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Will, and our special guest tonight is Tom Horn. Tom, welcome back, and please continue. We're talking about an exorcist, or exorcism, I should say.
Yes. Well, and the reason that I recorded this event in my very first book, Spiritual Warfare, The Invisible Invasion, the publisher of that book has gone out of business since. And as I understand it, our warehouse, they've got just a few copies of that book left. When it's gone, we're not going to republish it. But the reason that I recorded this event in that book was because there were 40 people who were there that day, including a police officer, some other people, some other clergy. And it was witnessed by these eyewitnesses. Now, tonight, somebody could get that book if they wanted to. They can read the story, and we don't have time for me to repeat it. But here's the point. At one point during this exorcism, this kid, and we're talking about a young man who was the son of an Assemblies of God pastor, but he had gotten involved in the occult, and it's an extraordinary story how he wound up in front of us. But here we are. 40 of us, and at that time I had been doing this for enough years that I was actually the lead exorcist. And this kid exhibited physical strength, Frank, I've never seen anything like it before. Wow. Never. We had a couple of guys there that were loggers, and they were sitting on this kid's arms because he was hurting himself. The things that were in him were trying to kill him. And when they got agitated and they knew they had to leave, I had never seen anything like it. This kid picked these guys up off the ground. I mean, it was just like something out of the movie The Exorcist. It was phenomenal. It was extraordinary.
It was superhuman.
And the reason I recorded it was because all of the people who were there who were eyewitnesses who could verify that what I had put in this book was true. But at one point, this kid stood up. And he looked at me because I was the one that was leading this process. And he started across the room toward me, and he leaped through the air. And this kid slammed into something completely invisible. It looked literally like he ran into a glass wall, smacked against it, and slid off and fell onto the ground. And when he did, everybody that was in that room, all of them at one point, fell right on their knees, just instantly fell to their knees and raised their hands and started giving praise to God. Wow. Because they had never seen anything like that before, neither had I. And to be honest with you, I was nervous.
Yeah, well, I would say so. I know I would be.
I mean, I don't want people to think that I'm saying I was standing there like some tower of faith. I mean, I was praying every breath coming out of me.
Oh, sure.
Because this was the most extraordinary, most powerful expression I had ever seen, and it went way beyond anything that could be explained in any kind of physics that made any sense to us. And that's why the people who were there responded to it, because they were eyewitnesses all of a sudden. You know, you go to church your whole life, you hear all these things about God, you hear about demons, you hear about angels, you hear about the extraordinary power of God. This was the first time for probably everybody there, including me, to be eyewitnesses to a phenomenon that was outside of our understanding of physics. Mm-hmm. And yet, at that moment, and I try to always be very careful to appreciate everybody's point of view, and I'm not trying to challenge anybody's point of view, but I'm telling you that at that moment, every one of those people understood that there was somebody at the right hand of God in heaven, that his name was Jesus, and that these powers were subject to him.
Amen.
That was the first time they'd ever seen it with their eyes. But now this is why, Frank, when I read that UFO researchers are claiming that these mind-altering drugs are opening gateways to the spirit world, something, by the way, that a lot of American Indian tribes have also believed for thousands of years. It's why I don't discount those just as being hallucinations.
Yeah.
Or when researchers are tinkering with the atmosphere or portions of the human brain, and they're creating these ghosts and shadow people. It's why I'm open to the idea. It could be a hallucination, but it could also be that we're reaching back into a distant past when the original Adam, the original man, mm-hmm. could see as God sees and speak as God sees. Now, the question now, Frank, how might changing us as a species through biotechnology and transhumanist aspirations, how might that open or reopen doors or gateways of the mind, which, frankly, we don't know very much about?
Mm-hmm.
We don't know why there are parts of the mind now that seem to be closed off and beyond our understanding. Will those regions of the mind, brain, be reopened through altering us, through blending us with other species? Well, I can tell you the transhumanists not only believe it, they hope so. I've debated some of them. I've debated some of the leading transhumanists on their own radio programs. I'm talking about PhDs, people that are teaching at Oxford University. And they literally believe that this is the next step in human evolution.
Yes, it's certainly what they appear to be striving for. And I concur with you. I think there's, you know, a lot of people talk about having some sort of divine encounter, given information, given a message from God, and I firmly believe that. And then I think that there are people who try to shortcut, just like those who would seek to sell themselves out, sell their souls for fame, success, fortune, whatever that may be. There's going to be shortcuts available. It's just, you know, it doesn't mean it's not real. It just means that it's not right. And I think that's the difference you're talking about with artificially inducing these things with hallucinogens and whatnot versus having an actual spiritual experience. And of course, you know, to extend that further, being genetically manipulated to have those doors already opened in people.
Well, and they want them to open. And this is the thing, because, you know, realizing that they are not raised with necessarily our worldview.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Nick Bostrom, he's a leading transhumanist advocate. He's a professor of philosophy at Oxford University. You can go to his website, nickbostrom.com, and he writes in his thesis on transhumanist values that our current human sensory modalities are not the only ones that are available.
That's true.
And not only that, they're not as advanced as they could be and should be.
Mm.
And he talks about how some animals have sonar and magnetic orientation, sensors for electricity and vibration, how they have a keener sense of smell, sharper eyesight, the ability to see into different electromagnetic situations beyond what we can see, and that this whole range of possible sensory modalities is not even limited to the animal kingdom, that there, because of synthetic biology, that there would be no fundamental block to adding, let's say, a capacity to see infrared radiation or to receive radio signals in our brain. And to have telepathy by augmenting ourselves. And these are all things based on real emerging sciences. These are not theoretical sciences. These are sciences that are right now being put into place. You know, you mentioned our website a couple times tonight. Recently, at RaidersNewsNetwork.com, we reported how the John Templeton Foundation has now provided $500,000 to Arizona State University for a whole series to study the fact that we are now embarking on what they called a large-scale genetic and neurological engineering of ourselves. They literally referred to it as the next step in human evolution as a result of accelerating developments in the field of genomics, stem cell research, genetic enhancement. I'm reading their press release here. But it was just before that, that Case Law School, you remember this in Cleveland? They received $773,000 from the National Institute of Health for one reason. That was, quote, to develop the guidelines for the use of human subjects in what will be the next frontier in medical technology, genetic enhancement.
Mm-hmm.
And so now you have the professor of law and bioethics, Max Melhelm, at Case Law School, and he right now is leading a team of law professors, physicians, bioethicists, in this two-year project that's already been funded, and they are using human subjects for developing the guidelines for altering the human species towards post-humanism and the genetic enhancement of humans. And even the, you know, even the President of the United States, in his State of the Union address a year and a half ago, talked about how we need to be careful now, and he called for legislation that would prohibit the creation of human-animal chimeras. Well, guess what? He lost. They're being made now.
That's right.
And his own chairman from his Council on Bioethics, Leon Kass, came out of that and said that we are right now not only redesigning the human species, we are facing a moment in which man is going to become a god.
It's terrifying stuff, my friend. Davis, thanks for the call. Tom, hold on a second, folks. Back in 3 minutes with more Frankly Speaking Radio. Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow. I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Friends, you are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. Our special guest this evening is Tom Horn. Tom, welcome back, sir.
Well, thank you, Frank. I tell you what, I'd listen to your show for no other reason than the music. I love it.
I'm glad to hear that. let's try to get through some more of these calls here. I can't believe how many we got pouring in here. Mike in Ohio, welcome to the show.
Is that me, Frank?
Yes.
Okay.
How are you, sir?
Well, pretty good. This is one of my favorite subjects. I was always interested and read everything I could on aliens. And I do not believe in these creatures coming from another galaxy, another planet. I do believe in fallen angels and good angels. Mm-hmm. And I read about this presidential briefing report for Jimmy Carter that two reputable people saw it. One was Bob Lazar of Area 51 fame and Linda Moulton Howell of the animal mutilation fame, mm-hmm. in which an alien stated that they had, through special DNA, they had sent back three people to as peacekeepers, and one of them was Jesus Christ. And they didn't say who the other two were. I'm guessing maybe Muhammad and Buddha. And if they were sometime to land in the future, they would say, well, since, you know, you worship these people, you can worship us. I mean, it would fit in with something that's kind of weird and far out, maybe with what the Bible says. And one other thing, he's talking about Nibiru. When I first started reading about that, I remembered reading about Balakowski's books about 30, 40 years ago. And so I looked up in the Schofield Bible, which has the dates, because people were saying it was about every 3,600 years it came around.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got back about 3,570 years, and something amazing was there, and that was when Joshua commanded his son to stand still. And Balakowski proved it from that it happened. You know, he said the Hopi Indians on the other side recorded the day of darkness, and in the Caribbean they reported where the sun just rose to the horizon. It never did go up. And one thing that struck me was when Joshua commanded his son to stand still to slay this enemy, it said right there after that, it said that the majority of the enemy was slain by large stones out of heaven, which would have been meteorites. And, you know, I was amazed reading that. You know, it's like, how could this be pinpoint precision that it happened, you know, that this would come back? But, I mean, it would sound like it might have been this planet Nibiru or Planet X coming by, and mm-hmm. what they're talking about nowadays, which, what, you know, it would do, stop the Earth from spinning, and we'd be in there. You know, meteorites would be hitting the ground.
Mm-hmm.
But that's about what I got to say.
Well, fantastic. Tom, would you like to respond?
I don't have any response other than it's very, very interesting. You know, he's making me think about scientists who are talking now about the inner, the core of the Earth slowing down. It may stop. It may reverse.
Yeah.
Is this a result of some kind of magnetic pool of the approach of Nibiru or something like that? I don't know, but we definitely are living in changing times now, and those years, 3,600 and some years separated, is something. I have there's a chapter in my new book I had written by David Flynn, and he actually uses some of those same years to show how that there are events that seem to be tied to specific geographies of the Earth, and I'll give you a little. I'll give a little bit of the cat out of the bag, and now I'm not qualified to talk like David Flynn does. He's a genius, but he has actually tied Horeb, the mountain upon which the Watchers descended, the year 2012 and 1947, and the exact location of the landing of the so-called UFO in Roswell, New Mexico.
Wow.
And this 3,600 year time flap that your caller just was talking about. So there does seem, in fact, his research was done so well that UFO Magazine wanted to reproduce it in their magazine. So there does seem to be something to this. You know me. I mean, I'm a researcher.
Mm-hmm.
I write the news. I'm more of a journalist.
Mm-hmm.
I go out and look for facts and put them into some kind of an editorial. When it comes to mathematics, when it comes to guys like David Flynn, maybe even the caller who just called, I have to leave that to their genius. But there does seem to be, as far as a reporter, as far as an investigator, there does seem to me to be material evidence that a person could use in a court of law as an attorney to be able to prove a case that something has been going on, because too many eyewitnesses have seen the same material evidence and have reported it.
Oh, well said. Very well said. Well, Mike, thank you so much for the call, my friend. I appreciate it.
Okay.
Let's go to Michael in Missouri. Michael, welcome to the program.
Good evening.
Good evening,
sir. Good evening. Hi.
Of course, the music is playing now. I apologize. I can't believe how fast time is flying.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, you both to hang on, and all of our callers as well. Folks, we'll be back in very, very short 3 minutes. And, of course, more Frankly Speaking Radio, our special guest, Tom Horn. And we're talking about his forthcoming book, which I just cannot wait for. It's called Nephilim Stargates, the Year 2012, and the Return of the Watchers. Stay with us. Back in three.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
A message for all homeowners and prospective homeowners out there. If you reside in Arizona, Colorado, New Mexico, California, or Utah, we can help you with financing the purchase of a new home or refinancing your existing mortgage. We now have a wide array of lenders for your purchase or refinancing needs. If you are looking for a cash-out refinance from an adjustable to a fixed-rate loan, paying down credit card debt, consolidating installment or other debt, or been wanting to invest in the safe haven of gold in the silver market but you've been sitting on the fence waiting for the right time, whatever your reason, give RBN a call and ask to talk to our mortgage professional. He can help you find a plan that fits your needs while he walks you through the process very simply and easily. You couldn't choose a better time to pay down debt or purchase gold and silver. And not only do you accomplish your goal, but you also help to support RBN in continuing to voice the truth. Don't wait any longer. Call us now at 1-800-724-2719. Again, that's 1-800-724-2719.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Glad you're here. Frankly Speaking Radio is what you're listening to. I am your host, Frank Whelan, but who cares? Our guest tonight, Tom Horn. Tom, welcome back. I'm very excited you're here, my friend.
Well, thank you, Frank.
Let's get back to our caller, Michael in Missouri. Michael, go ahead, sir.
Hi. I really appreciate Dr. Horn's newsletter. It's a real eye-opener, and I've been getting that for some time, and I just want to really give a good compliment on that because it's an outstanding source of information.
Oh, thank you. What was your name again?
Michael.
My name is Michael.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you. And you had mentioned earlier about, about how they try to open portals. And I know that the work of Dr. Jack Parsons with Enochian Magic, along with Ron L. Hubbard, the founder of the Church of Scientology, was they were involved in that sort of thing. And, of course, Dr. Jack Parsons was a founder and involved in the JPL, which later became NASA. And when we look at the work of a doctor, not doctor, but the scientist, Richard C. Hoagland, and his article, The End of Days, which discusses the 9-1-1 event, he brings about how that was in alignment to the star system Sirius and Orion at certain angles at certain times. And anyway, I just got the impression that based on the way that that thing was pulled off, that it would almost have to involve NASA-level calculations if you study his work in regards to 911. And I don't know if that's an area of research that you've studied into yet, but it's kind of fascinating to think that if Hoagland's work has merit, that they would have actually opened a portal. And actually, when you think about it, in common sense, it sort of did. It had a mass impact on the consciousness of humanity. And I certainly think it was an evil act, no doubt.
Excellent question.
I was thinking a little different topic maybe, but on topic with what Tom is saying here about they want to do these biometric identifications. They want to collect DNA in some countries and so on. And, you know, I was watching a YouTube video about China, and they have these prisoners, mainly the Falun Gong prisoners, and they were doing an undercover investigation. I think it was like the BBC or something. And anyway, they would have the tissue matches from these people ready to go so that if a customer, like, needs a kidney or something, they could fly into China and maybe have like 70,000, 100,000 ready to whip out and be like, okay, I need a kidney or something, and then they would be able to match your tissue up. Okay, so if we go back to the Bible, and we know that with the Noahide laws, that some people are going to get their heads chopped off or something like this, and so if they're going to harvest organs, what better way to do that and kind of mix it up and then have your DNA match and all that stuff? I mean, that's kind of far out there thinking, mm-hmm. but if we look at the Bible, and knowing how twisted some of these people are that are in the planning of these sorts of things, it may not be so far out there after all. And I don't know. I don't know what you guys think about that, but that's something that came to mind as I was listening to the DNA aspect of this, because they do seem to have an interest in wanting to get more biometrics.
Yes, get everything recorded in a data mining fashion with the passports and the forthcoming national ID cards and so on and so forth. Excellent point. Tom, your thoughts on that?
Well, I just, you know, he covered so many areas. This is like a whole, another whole entire radio show. It's wonderful. Michael, thank you. But here's, you know, of his excellent points, here's the one that stands out to me, especially, I guess, if our conversation is about, you know, portals that can be opened and that sort of thing. Isn't it interesting that Crowley, he mentioned Crowley and his magic portal, his Amalantra working, and he's correct, how that Hubbard and Parson had followed up with the Babylon working ritual. But isn't it interesting how Crowley died in 1947, the same year that Kenneth Arnold saw his flying saucers and sightings of aliens, and or his sightings of the UFOs, and that alien phenomenon started increasing around the world the very same year. And these guys were trying to open a dimensional pathway, Crowley, Parsons. They wanted this vortex, something that would bridge the gap between the world of the unseen and the seen. And Crowley actually claimed that he became successful when a presence came through and manifested itself through this rift. And this presence called itself LAM, L-A-M. And Crowley drew a picture of it almost 100 years ago, and the startling image is almost identical to the alien grays of today's pop culture.
Wow.
And then 3 decades after the Amalantra working, you had Jack Parsons and Ron Hubbard, and Michael's right, Ron Hubbard, Church of Scientology founder, and Jack Parsons, the Jet Propulsion Laboratory founder, they start conducting this second ritual, the Babylon working. And the whole idea is to try to reopen the gateway that had been created by Crowley, except in these guys' case, they're trying to bring through the Whore of Babylon, this female presence that they wanted incarnated into a human form. And all of these people in their own ways claimed that they had achieved a certain kind of success. But isn't it interesting that the same year that Crowley dies, 1947, is when Kenneth Arnold sees his flying saucers, when the whole event in Roswell, New Mexico, which is experiencing its 60th anniversary now, coming up here in a few weeks, that whole thing was born. In fact, today, before I came on your radio show, I interviewed Stanton Friedman, who was the first civilian investigator to uncover what was going on in Roswell, New Mexico. I also just had another conversation with Jesse Marcel, Jr., the only person that the government admits handled whatever the debris were that were in Roswell, New Mexico. I'll be publishing all this Raiders News Network over the next few days. But isn't it? But it, is that a coincidence? Is that a coincidence that these experts in their Orientis Templi, in their different occult, different kinds of aspirations, that they claimed that they had opened a dimensional gateway? And we started out this conversation talking about transhumanists who are hoping that they'll be able to change what it means to be a human so that they can have this perception into different modalities and dimensions other than what we have today. And I'm telling you, Frank, maybe I'm just totally out here by myself on a limb, but I cannot help but think that when we're talking about these aspirations to change the human species, to breach the species barrier, to break that law of God that said that each creature was supposed to recreate after its own kind. You know, it was God who placed a barrier between the species. And man now, playing God, wants to break that barrier, and they want to increase these different modalities. This happened once before in history. The B'nai Elohim saw the daughters of Adam, that they were fit extensions. Genesis 6:2. And fit extensions is understood to mean portals, stargates, dimensions, pathways, something through which they brought themselves into our reality. So the question then becomes, what if, as transhumanists like our friend Professor Bostrom at Oxford University and our friend James Hughes over at Change Surfer Radio, he's invited me on his show before. I've been on his show. I've talked with him on his show. We've had a gentleman's agreement that transhumanism is inevitable. It is going to happen, period. Yeah. Not only is it going to happen, it's happening now. And I'll give you a projection that is astonishing, but I believe this, Frank. You're living in the last generation right now, today, of humans who will call themselves the sole higher intelligence occupiers of planet Earth.
Wow.
Because we, and our law schools, whether it's Stanford, Oxford, all of them, right now are actually hosting human enhancement conferences because they are convinced of where the technology is taking us, and therefore they believe that the Constitution needs to extend the benefits of human and individual protection to persons who will not be only human, but they'll be part animal, part something else, part synthetic biology. Stanford University, just earlier this year, hosted the first ever Human Enhancement and Human Tech Conference, where they had over 200 of the leading futurists, transhumanists, legal scholars, bioethicists, who merged to discuss what is going to be the ethical and legal ramifications of enhanced humans. Oxford has done exactly the same thing. Even Birkbeck Law School in the United Kingdom, that teaches future CSI, crime scene analysis for law enforcement students, have just added a new class called Interrogating the Post-Human Subject.
Wow.
And they've done that because when you start interrogating, when you start collecting crime scene analysis from a crime scene, let's say from a post-human subject, something that's part wolf, then everything you've ever known about crime scene analysis may not work. In this case, where you have, let's say, a serial rapist that's part animal, because it will behave and act and think and lust and desire in a way that is completely outside of anything we've ever understood historically, and therefore there is a need. And when you see that our law schools are doing this, and our Congress has already been advised, and the President has already said this in his own State of the Union address, and his own counsel on bioethics, Leon Cass and his book, I would encourage people, get his book, Life, Liberty, and the Defense of Dignity, the Challenges of Bioethics, because he says right in the foreword of the book that human nature itself is now on the operating table. It's ready for alteration, for eugenic and neurophysic enhancement, for wholesale redesign, and he said that anybody who cares about preserving our humanity needs to pay attention now, because we are not just talking about enhancing ourselves in ways that would be like designer drugs that might give us, you know, some kind of hormonal ability to be stronger than we might naturally be, but we're literally talking about the definition of what it means to be an animal, what it means to be a human, what it means to be a post-human, and what it means to become a god. And those are in the, and he was the chair of the President's Council on Bioethics. So this is where we're going.
Mm-hmm. That's just stunning stuff.
And the watchers mingled human and animal DNA, and they combined the hereditary traits of different species into a single new mutation. It was known as Nephilim. And it possessed the combined intelligence, the instincts maybe, of the seeing and hearing and smelling, reacting to the environment of different life forms. And here we are today, where molecular biologists are classifying the functions of genes within their own native species, but they don't even know, in most cases, how a gene's coding is going to react from one species to the other. And that's the reason why during our research, we in our book, The Ahriman Gate, that's why we focused on transgenics, because transgenics is the science of not only altering the genetic structure of a species, but maybe even the nature of the species by introducing the DNA of a different species into its genome. Washington, are we going to a commercial yet?
We've got about 3 minutes, my friend.
Washington Post ran an article not long ago called Chimeras, A Step Closer to Reality, in which they were talking about how in a series of dramatic experiments, a scientist, Ivan Balaban, who's now working at the McGill University in Montreal, Balaban took these different sections of brain from developing quails, and he had transplanted them into the developing brains of chickens. And the result was you had chickens that actually exhibited the vocal trills and the head bobs that were unique to quail. And what it proved was that the transplanted parts of the brain actually contained the neural circuitry for quail calls and other complex behavior, and it proved that complex behavior could actually be transferred across species, from one species to another. Now, what does that mean, then, in terms of the transhumans of the future? We're already doing this at the embryonic level. We're already creating humans that are part animal and animals that are part human. We've done it here in the United States. We've created mice that have human brains. This was done in our university in California. And in fact, now, this year, they're talking about the potential of creating mice that not only have 10% human brains, that have 100% human brains. And it raises the whole ethical issue of whether these mice might become humanized, might even begin questioning their reality. Frank, what kind of a world, I mean, where are we at when we're talking about mice that might begin questioning who their creator is?
Gosh. Yeah, that's an amazing thing.
We're doing it anyway. And there was a book written by Stephen Nottingham called Screening DNA, where he's talking about how that hidden away in our brain is this permanent record of who we are and our past and our emotions and what makes us what we are, and that everything we've ever perceived could potentially be recalled through extraordinary cases of involuntary memory. I was driving down a road not long ago, and a song came on the radio. And right away, I swear I could smell cigarette smoke in the car. Because when I was a kid, that song was popular, and I ran around with a bunch of kids that smoked cigarettes. Mm-hmm. And it brought back all of those memories. they were triggered by that sense of moment, by that music. It opened up this vast vista of recalled experience. And scientists for the longest time have been trying to figure out how does long-term storage memory store in us as humans. And years ago they used to say it was nerve cell connections, mm-hmm. but there was a problem with that, not the least of which being a rapid turnover of molecules in the nervous system. And so more recently, scientists have started arguing that long-term memory needs a more stable blueprint, and that maybe it's DNA that actually supplies long-term storage memory, that permanent memories might be being stored as altered genes. Now, why is that important? Because if this new theory of DNA about memory is right, then in genetic engineering, transplanted memories from one species to another might migrate from one to the other. Imagine a half-human, half-wolf that has the appetite, the memories, the bloodlust. We could literally be creating lycanthropes, werewolves.
On that note, let's pause for a short break. Folks, stay back in three.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow, I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health.
My friends, you are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whelan, excited that you've Ben here. Of course, this entire hour is being brought to you by our good friends at Soleil Wellness, the makers of superior natural salt crystal products, including the ones you've been hearing about, the salt crystal lamps, skin and oral care products, natural foods, and more. You can check their website for more information. That's located at www.natural-salt-lamps.com. You can also call them toll-free at 866-497-0274. We appreciate our sponsors and our advertisers, the people who make this broadcast possible. And, of course, tonight's broadcast would not be possible without our guest, Tom Horn. Amazing, amazing stuff. We've kept you on an extra hour, and I appreciate that so much. But I know that your time is limited here, brother. And you got big things going on, obviously, as we've highlighted sort of what your schedule looks like in the next few months. Amazing.
Well, Frank, and thank you for inviting me on your show, and I want to apologize to your listeners for sometimes becoming preachy in tone. You know, I'm an old preacher, and forgive me.
You don't have to apologize.
So, but these are just, you know, they're passions,
yes,
things I believe in, and I do wonder where mankind is headed, and I love people.
Yeah.
And I love my kids. You know, I love them. I'm concerned about their future. And I hope that the deep ethics of these issues are things that people will take up and discuss before we reach some kind of a tipping point, some point of no return.
Well, you know, I think the main thing is that you look at the way that they make these inroads, security, convenience, and safety, and looking at the convenience thing, I think that there's another side to this. I read an incredible article, which I don't know if you've read, but it's definitely worth checking out. It was actually in Playboy magazine about 6 months ago, and it was all about sort of the genetic alterations of the future. And they're talking all the biggies in the industries and sort of everything that they're doing, laid out blueprints, actual agendas, and how this whole thing will work. And what they talk about is that parents, now you know the competitiveness of parents amongst their kids.
Right.
Parents will actually get their kids to get these special genetic modifications that will allow them to have, you know, photographic memories, instant recall, so on and so forth. And then you think about how that will change the academic industry. Think about how that will change the professional industry. If your kids don't have these things,
right,
they're going to be left behind. They're going to be the janitors of the world.
That's right.
And that's how they presented it in this article. Not that they were endorsing it, but they're saying that, you know, this is where it's heading. If you're not willing to have your children be guinea pigs, and they're going to go nowhere in this world.
Well, you know, earlier in this show, you talked about Gattaca, and it's really true.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just hope, regardless of a person's worldview, whoever's listening to this show tonight, religious, atheist, secular, humanist, whatever, everything that is happening in biotechnology now should be being viewed with a deeper kind of attentiveness.
Yes.
And it's not to say that there might not be some benefits to humanity that come out of biotech, but that because in many cases we are talking about the unnatural alteration of living organisms, and that this could have far-reaching, maybe adverse effects on the environment. One of the shows I did with you before, we talked about genetically modified crops and what some of the early tests are already showing.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of its unpredictable ability to adversely affect the environment. Because of that, a very slow path, a very thoughtful path would be the wise path. But unfortunately, Frank, we're racing forward now. Genetically modified crops, transgenic animal-human embryos, because we believe, as you say this Playboy magazine article pointed out, that these new creations are somehow going to open the door to a better evolution of the species.
Right. It's scary stuff. Tom, we're at the end of the hour, my friend. I want to go ahead and of course, give out the information. Nephilim Stargates the year 2012 and The Return of the Watchers available in July. And more information for you at RaidersNewsUpdate.com. Tom, God bless you, my friend.
Well, folks, thank you for inviting me on, Frank. And if they want to know about the